Thank you, Hayden, for sharing. You know, early he shared with me, and I'd already heard through the emails about what God had done this week at Middleton Grange School. Oh, I'm excited. Hayden, do you want to quickly share? Come on, Hayden, where are you? Come on.
I'd love to. And I'd also like to encourage prophetic, well, everybody's called to speak prophetically anyway, but when I was, I mean, it was a massive crowd, so surely there had to be at least one person there that wasn't saved. And I gave a count. Oh, sorry, I was at Middleton Grange High School Friday morning and shared my story there. And I was basically trying to speak to myself 10 years ago. So I'm thinking, when I walked on stage, I'm thinking, how am I going to get my attention 10 years ago? So I walked up there with a stock whip and cracked the whip, and that all of a sudden got everyone turning towards me. It's a pretty hard case. One of them actually asked me afterwards, they're like, oh, what was the whip for? I was like, oh, that was just to get my attention 10 years ago. I'm like, oh, well, it obviously worked. I finished speaking and I sort of got to the end of the altar call and I said, look, if you don't currently have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to come forward. I said, you might have met him 10 years ago, but you don't currently know him now. I said, well, you might never have actually had a personal relationship with your Heavenly Father. I said, if you're in either of those camps, I'm not going to ask you to everyone to bow their heads and you quickly slip up your hand. No, he was publicly crucified and slaughtered on a cross. Surely you can stand to your feet with everybody else watching. I mean, get a grip, Slippery. So we did that. I counted down from 10 and nobody responded. I'm like, huh, it's a wee bit awkward. I was like, and I'm thinking in my head, there's got to be at least one person here. And then Holy Spirit, a prophetic word came to mind that someone spoke over to me. If you don't know my journey, just about died 5 years ago, the Lord saved my life. I had someone, I'm not sure who it was, someone spoke and said, people will be healed, people will be set free both physically and emotionally through the playing of the harmonica, and it'll flow like a river. So I'm like, okay, God, nothing's really happening here, so we need you to move, as usual. So I said, right, I know there's at least one person in this room, and by that point in time, one had come forward, one young man had come forward, and I said, a crowd of this size, I mean, come on. So I started playing, and the yoke just broke. I'm not sure how many people were up the front, but it was absolutely packed. The Lord was glorified. It was amazing.
Amen. God, you do great things. God, you do great things. We're seeing healings, we're seeing salvation, and we're going to see more. Amen. Because his name is going to be glorified in our city, and he wants to use each one of us. How exciting is that? Some of you are terrified. Do you know what? All we have to do is be who God created us to be. It's nothing scary. We just have to do and be who God created us to be and turn everything towards Jesus. We're going to make his name famous. We're going to make Jesus more famous, actually, because Jesus is already famous, isn't he? Wow. Obviously not here. Yeah, shall we try that again, John? I think we should try that again. We're going to make Jesus more famous. Amen. See the healings that happened here this morning. Amen. See what happened in the high schools this week. That is first fruits. The teachers emailed Hayden and said, we've been praying for that for 4 years. I know there's been people praying for that for more than 4 years, you know. And God is wanting to do great things in our city because God, his name is above everything. Well, I've already lost my voice. How exciting is that? We haven't even started. Yeah. I've spent a little bit of time this week in the Name of Jesus book. And we could call this book the name of this message this morning, the Name of Jesus. But I thought we'd put something a little bit different on it because that one's been used quite a lot. So we'll just call it Make Jesus More Famous. Do you know what I want to tell you this morning? That the name of Jesus belongs to you. Because we carry the family name. The name of Jesus belongs to you because we carry the family name. If we can just grasp a hold of that and nothing else, wow, wow, wow. We're born into the family of God, and that name belongs to the family. We're baptized into the name of Jesus, aren't we? We're baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're baptized into it. We're baptized into Christ himself. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Isn't that cool? Why, it's all still my body. But Christ in me is the hope of glory, amen? That name of Jesus was conferred on us by Jesus who gave us the power of attorney. These are just a few things from the book, The Name of Jesus, which is an amazing book that I really encourage you to read if you haven't already done it. And if you're not into reading, then go onto our website. Pastor Janet has read the whole book and recorded it, so you can just listen. It's a fantastic book. Pastor Wes says it's one of the books that has had the most impact on his life. And so I've been kind of delving in it into this week. The last one that says there, we're commissioned as ambassadors to go and herald this name among the nations. So what's so important about the name of Jesus? You guys know. Do you get it in here? Do you get it in here? Because I recognize that I sometimes know up here about the name of Jesus. But sometimes you just got to get it in here so you live out of it, right? You can have head knowledge, but you've got to get behind, get it in there. You know, get it into your spirit, the name of Jesus, the power in the name of Jesus. I love that song we were singing earlier, God, you do great things. You know, and we've been praying for Shah. She's here today. Yeah, amazing. God's done great things in her life. You know, there was one time when I was up there praying for you, we'd been singing that song, God, you do great things, in the prayer meeting. And I just want to share a little testimony, because sometimes we have doubts that come into our mind and into our spirit of what God can do and what God can do. We can hear the reports and we can hear things, and they seem bigger than the God that we know. And I just want to share a little testimony of me grasping hold of a line of a song and saying, actually, this is the truth, not what has been declared by medical people, but this is the truth. This is the truth. God, you will do great things. God, you will. You're going to do great things. You're going to do great things. And, you know, I had a moment where I had this little doubt coming. I'm like, man, she's in a coma. It wasn't looking very happy, was it, Grant? It wasn't looking very happy. And I was like, man, the report was getting bigger in me than what I know about God. And this song came back to mind. How powerful when a line of scripture or the truth of God's word comes back to your mind and you begin to sing it, or you begin to declare it, and you begin to hold on to it, and you grasp a hold of it in your heart and your spirit and go, God, this is what you say. I don't care what the medical people say. This is what you say. God, you will do great things. It doesn't look like it right now. Far out. That's what had to happen for Hayden. He was, watch his story. You can see it on YouTube or on Life Church or something. There's a link we can share with you. God does great things, and he wants to do them here and now. He wants to do them in all the circumstances, the situations that you come in contact with. You know, I want to say to you, when you have a doubt, don't worry about it. I heard this great thing that a preacher, Arden, shared. And, you know, doubts are an indication of where God wants to grow you. Isn't that cool? Isn't that a turnaround? You know, often we see doubts and we go, oh, just sit down. You know, that's it. Throw in the rag. Throw in the towel, you know? Yeah. Give up now, you know, because we fear we've got doubts and, you know, you've got to have faith. But if you can spin it around and go, actually, this is an indication of where God wants to grow me. Man, I heard that the last couple of weeks at Young Adults and I'm like, oh, I'm grabbing hold of that because I know there's plenty of times when I encounter a doubt and I go, what right have I got to pray? What right have I got to declare something? Because, you know, I can feel that doubt. But when I go, actually, this is an opportunity of God showing me where He wants to grow me. How cool is that? Turn it around and shove that right back in the enemy's face. Yeah. Hey, we got to do that because the truth of God will always win. The truth of God will always win. And when we know and grasp a hold of the truth, we'll see Jesus made more famous in our city. Amen. Yeah, we sure will. There's a great quote I want to read you from the book. It says, we have a conviction that before the Lord returns, there will be a mighty army of believers who will learn the secret of living in the name, of reigning in life, living the victorious, transcendent, resurrection life of the Son of God among men. Wow. Do you know what? That's not for the future. It's for now. It's for now. It's for now. Because we are going to be ones that grasp what the name of Jesus is. We're going to be ones that grasp that actually we live and we stand in the name of Jesus. The power and the authority of Jesus is on Him, on us. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is living in me. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is living in you. Come on, and we're going to be ones that make His name famous. Because we share the power and the Spirit of Christ with those around about us. That is what is going to happen. So, what is in the name of Jesus? There's salvation in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. And sometimes we can just go, salvation, and just kind of leave it at that, you know? Just leave it at, Jesus is our ticket to heaven. Cool, got my ticket, I'm good. Now we'll just live life. Oh, man. If we do that, we're missing out on the greatest ride ever. Because Jesus said, greater things than these will you do because I go to the Father. And if we have a wee look at that verse, there's a little condition in there. And the condition is that Jesus goes to the Father. The condition is not something that we do. The condition is that He goes to the Father. Can you tell me, where is Jesus now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding. And do you know who He's interceding for? Come on. Come on, sometimes we've just got to get the truth stirring up inside of us and allow the truth, allow us to live out of that truth. Amen? Yeah, I love it. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. Yes, we're going to heaven, but the salvation is more than just our ticket to heaven. Amen? He wants to see the fullness of salvation in every area of our life. Let's not settle for things that are outside of what the cross has done. Let's live in the fullness of the cross. I want to encourage you this morning as much as I'm encouraging myself that the name of Jesus is all powerful. It's the name that's above all names. It's over every sickness. It's over every depression. It's over every anxiety. The name of Jesus, there's nothing that wins. We've been dealt the winning hand. But I don't think we play cards like we have. You got the trump card. You got the trump card. Some of you mightn't like my cards analogy. I'm sorry. I like winning, especially in cards. When you got the trumps, it's awesome. We got the trumps, church. We've got the trumps. Trumps every time. God wants salvation for our souls. Romans 10 verse 13, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know what salvation is for eternity. He's the name by which we're saved. But it's also salvation from trouble. Listen to this one in Psalm 37 verse 39 to 14. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Love it. I love it. The Passion puts it like this. But the Lord will be the Savior to all who love him. Even in their time of trouble, God will live in them as strength. Hallelujah. When we are weak, he is strong. I saw a really cool picture of this on Friday night at Youth. Oh, man. Youth relaunched at Living Youth on Friday night, and it was epic. Come on. It was awesome. And I saw a really cool picture of this, Jesus being our strength when we were weak. They were playing a great game where they got everybody to stand on the chairs. I'd just like you to do it now. No, just kidding. They were all standing on the chairs, and they played volleyball standing on the chairs, right? So they had a balloon that was going back, and half of them was one team and half of them the other. But there was one young guy that couldn't stand very well on the chair because of his balance, you know. Bree spotted this, and she just reached out her hand to this guy and held his hand so that he could stand up on the chair and join in the game. Nobody else there probably even realized what happened. To everybody else there, he was able to just join in with the game, and nobody probably would have realized what happened. But she just reached out her hand and held him so that he could stand. That's what Jesus does for us. In our weaknesses, he holds out his hand. Stand with me. Stand with me. Stand with me. I'll be your strength. I'll be your stability. When you're feeling a bit shaky, when you actually think, there's no way I can stand here, he reaches out his hand and goes, stand with me. That's what the name of the Lord is. That's what the name of the Lord is. Something that you can run into when everything seems tumultuous. Isn't it? You can run into that and find a strength and a stability to stand. It's awesome. I was thinking about that, and because I love to kind of grapple with some of these verses and think about them a little bit. And I was thinking about some of the horrific times in past. And like I was thinking about the Holocaust and thinking about the fact that in amongst all those people that got murdered, because that's really what it was, there would have been a lot of people that called on the name of Jesus. And I'm like, God, you know, how does this work? How does this work in there? Because there was all these people there that I'm sure would have called on your name, but they still got murdered. And then I was thinking about that amazing lady, is it Corrie? Yeah, Corrie Ten Boom. And I was thinking about her sister. And I was thinking, Corrie would have said of her sister, she just held his hand. Jesus was the name that they ran into in the middle of that horror. Jesus was the name that they held on to in the middle of that horror. He was the thing that sustained them. Because sometimes we can kind of disregard things like this truth because of we can see these horrors and things and go, oh, well, it didn't happen there, so maybe. But I want to say Jesus is. Jesus is the name that we can run into. He can be our strong tower. Some of you need to know that he can be your strong tower in the middle of what we're living in at the moment. Some of you need to forget about what you are being careful, tippy toes. Some of you need to focus on the name of Jesus more than what you are hearing and what you are seeing, and allow Jesus to become your strong tower. Some of you need to be running into him rather than running to a news feed. Ooh. We need to make Jesus' name famous because he is a strong and mighty tower. And we can run into him and find safety and rescue. Amen? Do you know what else is in the name of Jesus? There's healing in the name of Jesus. We've seen it already this morning. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, "It is finished." It is finished. Wow. Sometimes I grapple with that one too. Because I mightn't see what I think or what I want to happen. And so I write off the power of the name of Jesus and I just go, take a little bit away from that. Take some of the power out of that. Take some of the power. We don't even think about what we're doing. But it's like a little doubt comes in or whatever. And we dilute what we think the name of Jesus is. And the power of Jesus. But he said, it is finished. He said, it is finished. Man, I want to live in it is finished. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to live. It's actually way more fun to live in that. Because when you start to live under some of the things, some of the other things, that's really hard. But when we can live in it is finished, it's powerful. It's powerful. And I don't understand why things don't always happen, how we pray and how we believe. I don't get it. I don't know all the answers. But I want to be one that keeps pushing for it is finished. Amen? And that is a call on this house. This house is a house of healing. Did you know that? This house is a house of healing because it's what Jesus has given us. He said, you will lay hands on the sick and they might recover. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just take a moment right now to say, thank you, Jesus, for the truth of your word. Thank you, Jesus, for the truth of your word. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your word, that your word says that we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We align our hearts and our spirits with that truth right now, Lord. God, in every bit of doubt and unbelief, God, we recognize that as an opportunity for you to bring some growth in us. Amen. Oh, I'm a bit stirred up. Jesus said, such as I have, I give to you. Actually, no, that's not what Jesus said. That's what the guy said, Peter said. Didn't he? He wasn't in church. He was going to church. He wasn't in church. This church is good. I love church. But he was going to church. And he got interrupted going to do something that was very important. Somebody said, can you give me some silver or gold? Somebody, can you help me? Can you help me? If you don't know the story, it is in Acts chapter 3, verse 12. And there was a man, he was a beggar. And he asked Peter, just for some money. This story convicts me because there's a guy that I see quite regularly when I go to Pack and Save at Riccarton. I got my eye on him and I talk to him and I wave it and sometimes I give him stuff. But we've got something that these people need. We have something that these people need. And it's not necessarily silver and gold. It's not necessarily what they think they need. But it's the power of the name of Jesus, amen, to totally change their lives around. How cool is that? Because I can give somebody some money. And I've done that. I can give them a card. But they're there next week. There's this one man, and I want to give him something so he's not sitting there next week. Well, I do, but I don't know what that is yet. Well, sorry, I'm preaching it, aren't I? But there we go. That is the encounters that Jesus wants us to have. That's all about making Jesus famous. Because nothing about us. Flip. I don't really have a lot to give. I do. You know, I've got some good talents. I've got a little bit of money. I never have cash in my wallet. But what I do have, do I know what I do have? The name of Jesus. Peter said to him, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he did. That was that. He rose up and he walked. We used to sing, he went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. When I was a kid. In the name of Jesus Christ. Because he said, rise up and walk. So good. So good. By faith in that name. Let's read what it says. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Because people were quite amazed that the guy had walked. I think we'd probably marvel too. Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? I love that bit. I really love that bit. Because it means it's not about me. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life. Man, he was laying it on pretty thick here, wasn't he? There was no pretty speech here. Whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Faith in his name. It's awesome. What else is in the name of Jesus? There's deliverance. There's deliverance. There's deliverance. How many people around you are living under things that they don't need to live under? And you have the key to set them free. Because you know the truth. And my Bible says, and your Bible says, when we know the truth will set us free. I love that knowing. That is an encounter with Jesus, like what Daz was talking about last week. When we encounter that knowing is not just a, oh, I know about it up here. No, it's a knowing, it kind of refers to the intimate knowing, almost like between a man and a wife. When you know and encounter Jesus, when you know and encounter the truth, when the truth gets inside of you, not just up here, then you live in freedom. How many times have you seen that in your own life? Like, I know I've seen it. You know, I've known things up here, but there's been a time where I've actually recognized that the truth has got inside of me and that I now know this. I know this, and so I'm living out of it. And I have to choose sometimes to live out of it. Because sometimes it's really easy to slip back and live out of something else, a lie. What are we going to live out of? Are we going to live out of lies and depression and all those sort of things? Or are we going to choose to have an encounter with the truth and live in freedom? Amen. I love that. In Mark 16, verse 17 says, and these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. In my name. Let's look that one up, actually. Mark 16. I didn't put a marker. Should have made it a race, eh? Here we go. Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. That's an intense verse, man. This is the one that got me thinking about the Holocaust. Because I'm like, man, there was poison and all that sort of stuff in there, you know. This is what Jesus said just before he was taken up to heaven. This is what will happen in my name. And most of the Gospels share this. In my name. Not in us. In him. That's so good, isn't it? What else can we do in the name of Jesus? We can pray in the name of Jesus. And oh my, haven't we been doing that in the last... There hasn't there been a stir in that in the last couple of weeks. It's so cool. It's so exciting. And I think it's just going to go even more. This verse, we know it. It says in Matthew 18, verses 19 to 20, again I say to you that if two believers on earth that is of one mind and harmony agree about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there among them. I just can't find anything that doesn't fit there. But there's something about unity and lifting up the name of Jesus that's so powerful. Actually, Jesus said, when you come together and lift up my name, I will draw all men unto me. So powerful. There's something about when we're unified under the name of Jesus that is so, so powerful. And I reckon, like me, we all know this. But I reckon there's a stirring that God is doing in the moment where he's like, come on, let's live in it all. Do you know what? We are grafted into the vine. Let's go a little bit horticultural for a wee bit. I really should get Ronnie up here for this because she's way better at that sort of stuff than me. But let's have a wee think of a vine, okay? So that's like the thing that grows grapes, yeah, for those of you who don't know. The branches are attached to the vine, right? Yeah, yeah. And what flows through the life source comes from where? From the branches back into the vine? The other way, doesn't it? The life source comes up through the roots and out through the branches. So what flows through us? Us back into Jesus? Or his life flowing out into us? We're connected into him. We totally are connected into him. We just got to let him flow. It's so powerful. It's so simple. We've got to have faith like a little child. We totally have to have faith like a little child. I love the childlike faith. It is amazing. Do you know what it said? Is seeing your child who has childlike faith get a little bit older and encounter life and begin to lose some of that childlike faith. That is a really sad thing to see because there's such a beautiful innocence and there's such a incredible, well, they said it, it's going to happen. It's so cool. And when you see that a child has encountered life and had a few knocks or whatever and lost that, it is so sad. I think sometimes for us, that's what's happened for us. We've encountered some of life and had a few knocks. And it's almost like rather than allowing the life source to be flowing from him, we've allowed the encounters of the world to limit. That's huge, isn't it? But I know that I could put up my hand and say that. And I don't want to live like that. I want to live in him so that his life power flows through me. So that when I encounter that guy at Rickett and Pack and Save, I can say, dude, I don't have much of this today, but this is what I've got for you. Amen. We've got to make his name famous. We've got to make his name more famous. Because that's what he's put us here for. Amen. I love this quote from Kenyon. It says, when we pray in Jesus' name, we're taking the place of the absent Christ. We're using his name, using his authority to carry out his will on earth. That's cool, eh? We can be Jesus. We have his name. We have his authority. We can have his compassion. You know, how many times did you see Jesus in the Bible and he was moved with compassion? He saw a situation and he allowed himself to be moved with compassion. He didn't just kind of walk on past. Oh, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. But God, just I'm moved with compassion. And out of that, whenever I see in the Bible that Jesus was moved with compassion, do you know what happens next? A miracle. Every time that I read Jesus is moved with compassion, a miracle happens. When we allow him, when we allow ourselves to be moved with compassion, when we allow ourselves to feel his heart for those around about us, miracles are going to start happening. More miracles are going to start happening. That is what I want to say, because miracles are happening. Miracles are happening. We saw one up in the hospital. Miracles are happening, and more miracles are going to happen around about you, because you're going to allow the compassion of Jesus Christ to move your heart and allow his power to flow out of you. So amazing. It's not me. It's not you. It's just us being conduits of his power. It's so good. As he is, so are we in this world. The last thing that I want to say about what we can do in his name is this. Do everything in his name. You may be like me, and I think sometimes I kind of compartmentalize a little bit. I'm a little bit like that. I think sometimes it's how I cope with life. I do a little bit of compartmentalizing. And so I'm in this now, and so everything else is gone, and we're just in this. And I think sometimes I do that with God. Honesty here. I'm like, this is not really a God situation. This is just a... No, he says, do everything in my name. He's there all the time with me. Every situation I encounter, every problem I encounter, everything I encounter, he's there, and he wants to be a part of my everyday, just like he wants to be a part of your everyday. And man, I know mine go way better when I allow him to be a part of them. It's so much better when I allow him to be a part of the everything. This is how the Passion puts it in Colossians 3, verse 17. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. Wow. You know what? If we just lived like that, Jesus would be way famous. It's actually that simple and incredibly hard, but really simple. I want to encourage you with this quote from the book too. It says, this unlimited use of the name of Jesus, Kenyon points out, reveals to us the implicit confidence that the Father has in the church. This in itself is a challenge. Do you know what? I don't give anything to my kids if I don't think they can handle it. I don't actually give John the keys to my car. I give them to Samuel. Because I believe he can drive the car. Do you know what? Jesus has given you his name. I want a set of keys. Imagine I'm dangling a set of keys here. Jesus has given you... Thank you. Oh, no, don't. Oh, I did. I caught it. One-handed. One-handed catch. Just mark that one. It's a little bit of a family thing. It was caught on tape. I can play it to my boys. The mother caught the keys one-handed. Doesn't happen very often, but that's all right. Yeah, we celebrate our successes. Jesus has given me his name. He has confidence in me. I could do this. I could throw them out to you and say, Jesus has given you his name. He has confidence in you. I'm gonna. I might hurt somebody. Jesus has given you, Jesus has given you his name. He has confidence in you to use his name. Church, we need to know that we're holding the keys in our hands. Church, we need to know that we are holding the keys in our hands. But do you know what? Even more than knowing we are holding the keys in our hands, we need to get in the car and turn on the ignition and drive. Because there's no point holding the keys in our hands and just knowing and shaking them around. We need to get in the car and drive. Some of you, if you don't take away anything else this morning, just take away that phrase. Jesus has confidence in me. He has given me his name. Say it with me, church, if you can. And maybe if you can't, just say it anyway. Just say it until your spirit begins to believe it. Sometimes that's what we have to do. We've got to speak to ourselves because our spirit doesn't believe what the truth is. Jesus has confidence in me, and he's given me his name. You can say it with me, church. Jesus has confidence in me, and he's given me his name. Jesus has confidence in me, and he has given me his name. Powerful, powerful, powerful. This unlimited use of the name of Jesus reveals to us the implicit confidence that the Father has in the church. That is our challenge for the week. Amen. God is a faith God. He's exhibiting his faith. Our part is to accept the challenge. Amen. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 19, he says, all power and authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Now go. Powerful, eh? I want to read you some confessions from this book. And they're going to come up on the screen. And I don't want you to read them. I mean, you can read them now, but I don't want you to read them out loud. I want you to listen to them. Because then I want us to stand and I want us to read them out loud. But I don't want us just to read them. I want us to begin to declare them. The name of Jesus is above all names. The name of Jesus is greater than every name. The name of Jesus has authority in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. The name of Jesus has authority at the throne of God. The name of Jesus gives me authority over the demons of hell. The name of Jesus belongs to me today in the earth. For if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together, quick count, in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Jesus is here. Jesus is in here. He's here to see that my prayer is heard and answered. He's here to honor what I say, for if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. His name has authority. He has authorized me to use that name against my enemies, all of hell, all demons, all sickness and disease, oppression and depression, and sin as well. So in the name of Jesus, I am free. I declare my freedom today, for Jesus has set me free. And all that he has done, and all of his power, and all of his authority, and all the might of his conquests are invested in the name, and that name belongs to me. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me and gave himself for me. So I take the name of Jesus and I walk victoriously. Powerful way. Who wants the keys? Yeah. Who wants the keys? They're already in your pocket. They're already in your heart. They're already in my pocket. They're already in my heart. Now I've got to use them. Do you want to stand with me and read that confession? You choose. His power is here, though, today. I'm going to read, and you can read with me if you want. I don't want to make you read. The name of Jesus is above all names. The name of Jesus is greater than every name. The name of Jesus has authority in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. The name of Jesus has authority at the throne of God. The name of Jesus gives me authority over the demons of hell. The name of Jesus belongs to me today in the earth. For if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Jesus is here. He is here to see that my prayer is heard and answered. He's here to honor what I say. For if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. His name has authority. He has authorized me to use that name against my enemies, all of hell, all demons, sickness, and disease. Whoa, can you put it back? Sin, oppression, depression, and sin as well. So in the name of Jesus, I am free. I declare my freedom today, for Jesus has set me free. And all that he has done, and all of his power, and all of his authority, and the might of all of his conquests are invested in the name. And that name belongs to me. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me and gave himself for me. So I take the name of Jesus and I walk victoriously. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that when you died on the cross, you went down into hell and you took back the keys of death. You conquered all. And thank you that you have given that conquering power to us to walk in. And today we stand. We stand. We stand as a part of your family. We stand as a part of your family and we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now go. Now go. I thought we might pray for people at the end, but you know what? We did it in the middle. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. And we can't let anything dilute that. You, church, are amazing. You, church, are going to make Jesus more famous. And I'm excited to hear more and more testimonies of what we heard through Hayden this morning, of Jesus being made famous. I'm excited to hear more and more testimonies of people being healed on the streets. I'm excited to hear more and more testimonies of his power and his might flowing through you. Because we hold the authority. Amen.